number 8, and in contemplating what the Lord would have me to speak on tonight, being, well, the final Wednesday night of the year 2018. What about that? That's something, isn't it? I stand here and say that year after year, and I'm just as amazed at how fast the years in the past have gone by as I am this year. But in saying that, I'm also grateful that I'm able to stand here and say it. There are some that were with us last year. Well, they've moved on. They've graduated on to heaven, and they're not able to be with us this year. They're in a better place, and we miss them. We miss them. We miss their presence here, but we're glad for them that they graduated on to heaven. And as hard as it may be in your mind, in my mind, to conceive the idea that there's probably someone sitting among us, if not more than someone, some people that will not be with us this time next year. If Jesus doesn't come, when I stand before you, if I'm the one that does it, I may not be the one. I may be the one that's not here. We never know. It just pays to be ready, doesn't it? It pays to be ready. So, well, I'm going to get ready. Well, the Bible doesn't say get ready. It says be ready, you see. So, I mean, that's how fast it can happen. You know, when I was growing up, the old-timers had a saying, here today and gone tomorrow. And now the saying has changed. It's here today and gone today. I mean, it's time speeding up. You can get up one day and be in eternity that same day. So it doesn't have to wait till tomorrow for that to happen. So you keep that in mind. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. I want to bring some thoughts to you about reflection. Anyone, and we're going to have just a little open forum here for a few moments. I don't do that much, but we'll give you an opportunity to speak out until I get into the definite message that I feel that God wants me to bring. How many know what the word Deuteronomy means? Somebody raise your hand and tell us what the word Deuteronomy means. Yes. Yeah, second given. Is that what you was going to say, Pastor BJ? Second law. Second law. And of course, it's given away by, look at the first three letters. Okay? D-E-U. Of course, you know what a deuce is, right? Deuce, two. And so it's the second giving. And of course, it's in the book of the Deuteronomy that we have the second giving of the law. Of course, that's the Ten Commandments. They're found in first in Exodus and then here again in Deuteronomy. I want to give you something to think about, and hopefully you'll go home and develop this. Okay, so I'm just going to kind of lay some groundwork, give you a couple of thoughts that I hope you'll think on. As we move into a new year, we need to do so kind of remembering what God has done for us in the past, because that helps us to have confidence that the same God that met our needs in 2017, 2018, is going to meet our needs in 2019, right? Same God. Same God. God's not going to let you down. He's not going to leave you nor forsake you. So I want to talk to you. Now, someone has said this, and I like this, okay? Someone has said that the book of Deuteronomy is like taking a walk down memory lane. It's like Moses calls the children of Israel together, and he just kind of keeps putting them in remembrance. And I'll show you just briefly, and you'll have to do the rest on your own, okay? There's two phrases that repeatedly keep coming up, all right? And if you have a concordance, I would encourage you to get your concordance out and track these phrases or the likes of these phrases, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. The first phrase is remember, okay? Remember. And so you look in chapter 4, and you find where in chapter 4 that basically in chapter 4 and verse number 9, we're being told to remember. He said, only take heed. Now, he doesn't use the word remember, but that's what he's saying. He uses it sometimes, and then sometimes he'll say, take heed. In other words, remember. Take heed. Keep that in the forefront of your mind. Take heed. He said in chapter 4, in verse number 9, take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. Now, when you read these scriptures down through verse number 13, you'll find what Moses is reminding these people to take heed of. He's saying, don't forget that God is holy. Now, brethren, this is something that it's really easy to forget. It's really easy to forget. God is holy. Now, we live in a friendly seeker kind of, you know, in society where people think that the reason you come to church is to make friends and to have events. And I'm not opposed to any of that. Thank God for good friendships. Amen? Thank God for good fellowship. But we don't need to lose sight of why God wants us to come to church and why God wants us to fellowship with Him. God wants us to know He's holy. God is holy. Now, why do I say that? Look here in verse number chapter 4. He said, take heed. And then if you go on down, he said in verse number 10, especially. Amen. I mean, he said, remember, but remember this especially. All right? Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb. In other words, he said, don't forget Mount Sinai now. Because on the mountain, God showed two key things. Number one, God showed how holy he is. And then number two, God showed how sinful man is. And he said, don't you ever forget that. You'll get twisted in life when you forget that. See, sometimes people try to bring God down to man's level. And then if they're not trying to do that, they're trying to elevate man up to God's level. Trying to make man more than he is and God less than he is. And here's what Moses said. He said, you mess up when you do that. He says, so remember now, remember what you were taught at Sinai. Okay, God is holy. God is holy. And man is not. Man is sinful. And then if you'll go over to chapter 5, and I'm not going to go through all of these, but look in chapter 5 just for a moment. Look if you would in chapter 5. Look if you would in verse number 15. This is a great thing to remember. He said, in spite of the fact that God is holy and man is sinful, look in chapter 5 verse 15. Remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt. Amen. He said, don't you forget now where God found you. Don't you ever forget where God found you. And you didn't find God now. God found you down there. He said, don't you ever forget that. And so as we move forward to the new year, we need to remember this. All right? I don't ever want to forget where God found me. Now, I'm afraid some folks have forgotten where God found them. And my grandmother used to have a saying, and I say this a lot because I believe folks are this way. They're getting too big for their britches. And they just think that they're more than they are. And we don't ever want to get that way, collectively as a church or individually as a believer, to where we think we're all that. Can I tell you, we're not. We're not all that. We're not what we think we are sometimes. And so we need to remember. We need to remember that God is holy. Man is not. And look at chapter number 5, verse 15. He said, remember now that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt. Now watch what else. And that the Lord thy God brought thee out of thence. You know, don't you ever forget where God found you, but don't you ever forget where he brought you from and where he's brought you to. Now I look across this congregation, and I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I've known several of you for a long time, and you've known me, and you've seen God do miracles in my life, and I've seen God do miracles in your life. There's family sitting here. When I first met you, you didn't even have anywhere to live. Look what God's done for you. Look what God's done for you. There's folks sitting in here, you were dying. Dying physically. Look what God's done for you. Look what God's done for you. There are folks sitting in our midst that had no hope. No hope, humanly speaking, and look what God's done for you. Can I tell you, we don't ever want to lose sight of that, you see. We don't ever want to lose sight of that. And the story is the same. It has the same crux. The story has the same foundation. Though it may change a little here and a little there, we've all been set free. We've been delivered. God has done great and mighty things for us. And I don't ever want to forget that, you see. And that's what Moses is reminding the children of Israel. Now, what is Moses reminding them for? They're going to a place where they've never been. See, he's telling them this because they're getting ready to enter into the promised land. Heretofore, it's only been a promise, but it's getting ready to become a reality. And so the reason I'm telling you this is because 2019 is a promise, but if Jesus doesn't come and God shows us favor,
each day that we live in this new year approaching is going to become a reality to us. And so we're very similar to the place where the children of Israel, we're right at the brink of something that's been promised becoming a reality. And so as I look at their situation, I think it's very close to our situation. And so he said, number one, don't you forget now, don't you forget that God is holy. And don't you forget that you're sinful. And don't forget that in spite of that fact that God is holy and you're sinful, that God still came down to where you were in Egypt and brought you up out of that land. And just look what God's done with your life. A slave, brethren, a slave. And God set you free. Set you free. And look what God's doing in your life. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? I mean, it's just wonderful. Let me give you just a couple of more. These are remembrances, okay? He says, remember. Look, if you would, in chapter number 8. And we'll come back to this one. But look at verse number 2. This is one of my favorites, and that's why we're going to come back to this and spend a little time. Chapter 8, verse number 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Amen. Now, basically what he said, if I were to bring that up to our present day vernacular in our situation, it's just saying that just remember how each step of the way in life, God was there with you. God was there with you each step. You say, well, preacher, I felt alone. Doesn't matter how you felt, you were not alone. You were not alone. God was there with you every step of the way. And can I tell you, he's going to be from here on through. God's been with me up to this point, and God's going to see me on through, brethren. God's seeing me home. I'm just as sure as I'm standing here, I'm sure of that. God is going to see me right on through the pearly gates. I'm 100% sure of that. If I had any inkling of a doubt of that in my soul, I'd get that straight before I drew my next breath. If I wasn't 100% sure that I was going to heaven when I left this life, I wouldn't care what anyone around me thought. I'd kneel my heart and myself before God and say, God, I want to know. I don't want to take a chance on missing the greatest event of all, and that's me going to heaven. Amen. I don't want to miss that. And don't you think, well, I'm at church, aren't I, preacher? That doesn't mean you're going to heaven. You must be born again. So he said here in chapter number eight, he said, remember. Let me give you one more and then we'll move on to something else. Look in chapter number 9. This one's not a very positive one, but it's something that we need to be remembered. Look in chapter number 9 just for a moment. He said in verse number 7, chapter 9 verse 7, remember. You see what he's saying? We're taking a stroll down memory lane. And here is Moses telling these people, the children of Israel, remember, remember, remember. You know why? We're forgetful people. We're forgetful people. We just forget. And notice what he said here. Remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until you came into this place. You have been rebellious against the Lord. Now, that's for that person that sometimes, like me, can get to thinking, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. You ever get to thinking that sometimes? You say, oh, no, preacher, I never get to thinking that. Really? Well, we're all apt to get to thinking, I'm pretty good. You know how you do that? You start looking at other people that's not living as they ought to live, and you'll get to thinking, well, you know what? I'm all right, you know? I'm pretty good. Well, these over here, they ain't got this worked out. I got it worked out. Maybe these over here don't have that part worked out, but I'm pretty good. No, you're not. No, I'm not. Well, God's always having to deal with me. How about with you? God's always having to deal with me about something. And so he said, now don't forget. And we could go on and on. So get your concordance out and look. Now that's one of the keys. I'm just going to touch the hem of the garment on this second one because I don't want to follow through like I did with this one. So it's remember, but now there's a flip side to remember, and it's lest thou forget. Go back to chapter 4 and notice what he said here, okay? In chapter 4, look if you would in verse number 9. you'll see that phrase. Right in the middle, he said, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen." Don't forget now what God's done for you. Remember it. Don't forget. Look in verse number, I think it's verse number 23 of chapter 4. "Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God." He says, well, this is important. He said, you're not careful, you'll forget some things. God has some expectations of us. And you read some of these sometimes. Look what he said here. You would think, well, no, preacher, I would never do this. Look at what he said here in verse number 23. "Which he made with you, you'll forget your covenant, which God made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee." You end up idolizing something. Y'all, not me, preacher. Now, wait a minute. Yes, you will. Yes, I'm capable. Don't think you're not. It doesn't take long to get away from God, and you'll be idolizing something or someone that you shouldn't be. That's what God's saying. See, when you stay close to the fire, when you stay in the Word, when you stay in the secret place, when you stay in the church and you're around good, godly people, you hear preaching and teaching, well, you're apt to stay close to God. But when you start drifting from those things, if you're not careful, now I'm not saying you can't backslide in church, you can. Amen. You can. But he said, if you're not careful now, you'll forget and you'll find yourself idolizing things you shouldn't be idolizing. Could be a ball team. Could be a human being. Could be a possession. Could be money. See, and all these things will begin to possess and you'll lose sight of what God saved you for. What God came to you for. Let me give you one more, okay? Turn, if you would, to chapter number 6. Look in verse number 12. Now, you'll find these phrases over and over again, okay? Verse number 12, he said, of chapter 6, "Then beware lest thou forget." You see that? So it's remember, and then he says, "lest thou forget." So he said, if you don't work on remembering, you're going to forget some things. And when you forget them, you're going to go backwards. Look at what he said in verse 12. "Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, who brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." In other words, he said, if you're not careful, you'll think you had something to do with that. So I'm doing good now, boy. Right? Doing good. Boy, I just stuck my nose to the grindstone, preacher, and pulled myself out of that mess. Yeah, I know you did. Yeah. God showed you favors, what God did. Just like God showed me favor. And we never need to forget this, brethren. There is just something in man. Now, it's going to be addressed right here, so I want you to turn to chapter 8. In the remaining time that I have, which is 15 minutes, I want to share something with you. Can I tell you, and some of you is going to say, well, I already know this, but we need to be told this. I need to be told this every day. God hates pride. Say it with me. God hates pride. And I'm going to say it this way. God hates my pride. My pride. God hates your pride. God hates pride. Now, what causes men to not remember? What causes ladies and men and gentlemen to forget? Our pride. Pride. Oh, fallen, sinful nature get puffed up and think we're something. What causes people to get mad and say, well, I'm not going to go back down there to Fellowship Baptist Church. Pride. Well, I'm not going to sing that song. I'm not going to sing. I'll just sit here and hold a hymn book. What causes that? Pride. What causes someone to pass notes while the preacher's preaching or scroll through their telephone instead of look at the Word of God? Pride. Pride does that. You know what pride's telling you? I don't need God. Pride's saying you don't need that. Pride saying, oh, you got this. You know it all. You don't need that. That's what pride says. Pride. Notice what in chapter 8, here's what the book of Deuteronomy says. All the commandments which I command thee this day, chapter 8, verse 1, shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Now, look right up here at me just for a moment. 40 years. Now, I want you to think about this. Now, here's what God's saying. Don't you miss this, all right? Now, one side of it is man's side, and the other side is God's side. If we're not careful, we're always looking at man's side. Take, for instance, these 40 years, okay? These 40 years, we know that 40 is like a time of testing, right? It's almost like a probation. 40. You'll find this number in the scripture often. I'm not going to go through because of time, but you look at it. It's a time of probation, a time of testing. And so God said here in verse number 2, he said, I've been with you all through the times of testing and trying. Now that's man's side. But you know what God's side is? Patience. I want you to write that word down. If there's one thing that we need to never forget, brethren, God has been patient with us. Oh, how God has been patient with me. I'm here to tell you now, if God had not been patient with me, I would not be your pastor. If God had not been patient to me, I would not be, I'm not much, but I wouldn't be the man that I am today if God had not been patient with me. If God had not been patient, I would not have been the father, and I'm not much, but God, I wouldn't be the father that I am if God had not been patient with me. I wouldn't be the grandfather. I wouldn't be anything. I'm telling you, brethren, outside the grace of God, one of the things that I'm really, really learning as I grow older is the patience of God. God has been so patient with me. How about you? God been patient with you? You see, this is what God is telling them. Look at it again here in verse number 2. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. You think God was patient with them in the wilderness, brethren? Have you read the story? Have you reread it? Have you really looked at the details of how God time and time and time again was patient with these folks? Can I tell you, God's patient with you too. God's patient with me. You know, if God's patient with me and God's patient with you, don't you think God wants us to be forbearing and patient with others? Now, here's something you need to carry forward with you. Don't you forget now that God's been patient with you. And God's going to put somebody in your life, just as sure as you're sitting in this service tonight, that you're going to want to kick to the curb. But don't kick them to the curb. Love them to Jesus. It may be loving them back to Jesus. Maybe you've worked with them and you've witnessed to them and you've talked with them time and again and you said, oh, I'm through, I'm done. And I can't tell you how many times I've washed my hands of people only to go back and try to get them again. Amen. I just can't do it. I just can't leave them. Because I'm so thankful God didn't leave me. What if somebody would have gave up on me? What if they'd have gave up on you? See, we can't do that. Oh, listen, there's a side of old pride that says, I'm going to give up on them. I'm going to wash my hands of them. I'm through. But I just can't do it. And I'm glad I'm that way. I'm not sad I'm that way. I'm glad I'm that way. Now, I've been criticized. I've been called everything from a compromiser to you name it. But I'll only just wait and see what God calls me when I stand before him. I don't know what that'll be, but I know how I feel in my heart, and that is I just can't give up on people that are away from Jesus. How about you? Oh, I get angry with them. I get upset. Sometimes I don't know, but I just can't give up on them. I've given up only to go back. How about you? What about it, brother? God didn't give up on them. 40 years. You've been working with somebody that long? 40 years? 40 years. Preacher, why does God allow people to go through hard times for long periods of time? I'm glad you asked that. That brings me to the next thought. Look if here in verse number 2, to humble them. I feel like I've been in the wilderness now, preacher, for so many years. Well, God's humbling you. Amen. Is that what the Bible says, brethren? God uses these experiences in life to humble us. And God is using experiences in life. You say, well, it don't look like it. It looks like they're all proud and arrogant. The final chapter hasn't been written. Don't you forget that now. Nobody. I want you to listen. I want you to write this down in the memory bank in your mind. Nobody sins and gets by. Nobody. Well, I know somebody that did. No, you don't. Nobody. You reap what you sow is for every soul. Nobody sins and gets by. It may appear that they've done it. It may look like it's happened. And it may look like that payday will never come. But judgment's coming. One day. Listen, God was with this crowd for 40 years, patient with them. And there was a crowd who said, we're not going to do it. And they were stiff-necked and they were rebellious. We're not going to do it. You know what God did? He buried them in the wilderness. Patient for 40 years. And then he said, you're not going. So don't you think now, don't you think that you can't cross God's line. Don't think that. I'm telling you what the Scripture says. And it says here in verse number 2, it says, as you go forward into the new year now, you remember God is patient. And if it wasn't for God's patience, I wouldn't even be here talking about going into another year. How about you? And so I want to remember that God is patient. But God is not patient to excuse my sin and to sweep my sin under the rug. God is patient to, look at it in verse number 2, to humble me and to prove me. He's got some things he wants me to learn about myself. So in the remaining time, let's look at it. Did you write that down? Patient. All right? Here's the next word, and this is the final word before we look at a few things under this second heading. Purpose. Purpose. See, God is patient because God has a purpose. They go together. God's patience and God's purpose go together. And the longer I live, the more I see how they come together. See, God's purpose in my life would never come about if God wasn't patient with me. I'm a stubborn piece of clay. And so God has to repeatedly say, nope, it's not going to be that way. And sometimes I bow and say, yes, sir. But sometimes I bow up and God says, okay. I'm going to humble him a little bit. And God does that, brethren. God does that. I've had people come to me and say, preacher, I don't understand why I'm going through this. I do. Let's look at it. Patience. Number 2, purpose. God did it to humble thee. That's the patience. To prove thee, the purpose. What's God looking to prove? Number 1, write this down. God wants to know where your allegiance is. Now, God knows, but he wants you to know. See, have you ever heard somebody say, I love Jesus? Well, we're going to find out. What you say doesn't determine if you love him. It's what you do. Isn't that what the Bible says? We're going to find that out. You ready? All right. To know what was in thine heart. Say, I know what's in my heart. No, you don't. Only through God's purpose will we find out what's in our heart. See, the heart is deceitful. Above all things, it's desperately wicked. Does the Bible teach this? You can't know your heart, but God knows it, and he wants to show it to you. He wants to show me mine. And so he said, I'm going to be patient with you, but I'll have a purpose for your life. But there's got to be some things come out. You're not going to do God's will trying to fulfill your purpose. Right? You with me? See, we have our own way, and we say, well, I'm going to do it this way, and we try to make God's will our will. Right? It's not going to happen that way. It's not. And there are many people who, that old proverbial saying that I use, they get to the top of the ladder, and they find out, I'm at the top of the ladder, I made it. Oh, the ladder's leaned up against the wrong building. Not good. Got to start all over again. So here it goes. Number 1, allegiance. To know what was in thine heart. What's in your heart? You, success, a name, pomp, right? Position, power. I don't know. But I'm just saying these are the things that are in man's heart. And God said, I did this to show so you could know what was in your heart. Allegiance. Who's your allegiance to? As we move forward to a new year, what's 2019 going to be about? It's going to be about you? Is it going to be about me? or are we going to make it about Him? We have the choice. Oh, I pray that you would join me. Let's make this year about Him. You say, well, preacher, I made 2018 and 2017 and 2016 about Him. That's good. But that's no guarantee that you'll make 2019 about Him. You have to purpose in your heart, right? You have to purpose in your heart. I want to make 2018. And so God said, I'm patient with you because I have a purpose for you. And I want you to enjoy my greatest potential in your life and fulfill your purpose. And the way you're going to do that is to find out where your allegiance is. Notice it carefully again, to know what was in thine heart. Number two, not only is there allegiance, but there's obedience. Look at this right here. Obedience. Whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. You know, I believe if I were to go around the room tonight, the sanctuary, and just start right here with Stacy, and just come right up here and go around and ask everyone, you willing to keep God's commandments? Everybody, yep, 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 yep. You keeping God's commandments? Yep, 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 yep. Sometimes it might do us good to write down some commandments. See, we may not know what we're keeping or not because we don't know what the commandments are. Can I ask you a question? What's another way to say I love Jesus? You know the Bible. Love others. Yeah. That's a way. As much as you've done this to others, you've done it unto me, right? Keep His commandments. See, I can say I love Jesus all day, every day. But I'm going to tell you what Jesus said. If you love me, keep my commandments. So when I see somebody that's not keeping the commandments and they say, oh, I love God. No, you don't. You're being deceived. Right? So this is what God is saying. God says, I want you to know where you really stand, because we can deceive ourselves. And so here's what He said. He said, I'm patient with you to humble you, to prove you, so that you can know what's in your heart and know whether you're willing to keep my commandments. You say, preacher, as long as things are going the way I want them to go, I'm going to keep God's commandments. Yeah, I know. That's where a lot of people live. Isn't it? Come on now. Yeah. But you let something turn south, and man, they'll ditch out. There's people, and listen, they come through fellowship. They go through every church. They'll stand in there and say, I believe the Bible, and until something bad happens. And they just, listen, they ditch the Bible and go just as far left as they can go. Why? Well, it didn't work out the way they wanted it to, so we're just going to do it our way. You don't love God. If you can't keep God's commandments in the hard times, there's not a whole lot to your Christianity. Amen. You willing to keep God's commandments when things are dim as well as when they're bright? When things are, all the bills are paid and everybody's in good health, your family's doing great. What about when the family's on the rocks? You gonna keep His commandments? Amen? Gonna keep His commandments? When times are hard, the family's on the rocks. What about when she comes in and says, I want a divorce? You gonna keep His commandments? Amen. What about when they call and say, we're repossessing everything you have? You gonna keep His commandments? Well, I tell you, when the bills are paid and the money's coming in and health is good and life is good and family's great, it's, boy, keep His commandments. But when things turn a little bit, a lot of people, well, they duck and dodge out, don't they? Forget God's commandments. The Bible don't work. I've had to have people tell me that. The Bible doesn't work. Now you're not working it right. Because God put you through a test so you could know that it really wasn't about the Bible with you. Look at again in verse number 2. To know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. And then finally, dependence. Dependence. Look at verse number 4. Verse number 3 and 4, God said, I fed you bread. Verse number 4, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. God said, I met every one of your needs. That's dependence. So here's three things as we think about purpose: allegiance, obedience, dependence. See, I want to depend on God. I'm not dependent on the church. I love the church. If anyone doesn't know that about me by now, I doubt you'll ever know. The church is one of the most sacred parts of my life. I love church. And it's not just because I'm a pastor, okay? I love church when I'm not the pastor. I'm faithful pastor, no pastor. Amen. I love the church. How about you? You love the church? I love the church. I want to be faithful to God's church. I want to be faithful. I want to set a great example to my children, my grandchildren, your grandchildren, to the community. I want people to know the church is a big thing to me. It's important. It ought to be to you. What about His commandments? What about His people? What about it? What about it? Patience. All right? As we move forward into the new year, you remember this now. God's been patient with you. And He will be patient. But there comes a time when God says, you know what? No. You're not going. And God will withhold things from people who have a stubborn, rebellious will. And God dealt with those people, didn't He, brethren? God dealt with them. And God deals with sin. Patience. I'm glad God's patient. But I don't want to try His patience. Number two. Purpose. I want to fulfill His purpose for my life. And as I move into the new year, I believe God has purpose for me. I believe God has purpose for this ministry. God's been patient with us. God has a purpose for us. Let's stand. A lot of possibilities out there just waiting on us. Look up here, young men. God's got a lot of possibilities for you. I look across this congregation, and there are some young men in this church that there is no telling what God could do with your life if you got serious about serving Jesus. I mean serious. There's just no telling. No telling. Good young men. Good young men. This church is full of good young men. There's just no telling what God could do with your lives if you got serious and you said, you know what? I want 2019 to count for Jesus in my life. Won't you make that commitment to God? Not to the preacher. Not to your parents. Make that commitment to God. Young ladies, God has something special for your lives. God has blessed this church with some of the finest young ladies. There's no telling what God would do with your life if you said, I want my life to count for Jesus in 2019. There's no telling. They're watching us, brethren. They'll never tell you that. They don't have to tell me. I already know. This book said they would. And God's always right. They're just looking for somebody that's real. Just looking for something that's real. I think young people are just sick and tired of play acting and, you know, just half-hearted approach to things. They want something real. Amen? I believe you're going to find it here. I thank God for Fellowship Baptist Church. I told a few people Sunday night, God sure has blessed us with a good church, hasn't He? He has. And I praise God for Fellowship Baptist Church. Let's make 2019 a great year for Jesus. Amen? Let's do some great things for the Lord. I'd love to see people get saved every church service. You say, preacher, it can happen. Sure it can. Sure it can. I'm going to say this. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we're going to dismiss our teams, and we'll have a season of prayer here, and then they'll come and practice their song. Stay humble. I wrote this down. Stay humble. If we'll stay humble, there's no telling what God can do. If we'll stay humble. Sometimes pride just gets in the way, doesn't it, brother? I can't find it, but that's all right. Pride gets in the way. Stay humble. You know why? When we remember that without God, we can't do anything, that helps us to stay humble. All right? You believe that? Without God, I can't do anything. That'll help you stay humble. That'll help you keep going back to God. But don't just stay humble. Stay hopeful. Because with God, I can do anything. Amen? It's a great way to approach life. Stay humble. I can't do anything without the Lord, so I'm going to bow before Him and say, God, I need You. But I'm going to stay hopeful because God with you, there's nothing I can't do. What a great way to approach a new year. Let's bow our heads together. Father, I pray that You would help these words to be a blessing.